One, let us reason together. I'm sorry.
You can't shut me off, though. You can't shut me off.
There's a difference between preaching to the masses
yes.
and engaging in a one-to-one conversation.
Oh, okay, let's do it.
So let me hear you out.
All right.
That's scary.
Oh, yeah, it's just a tattoo, man.
Okay. All right.
What makes
so again, my name's Tony.
I'm John. Juan.
John Juan. Okay. Your name is?
I'm Yuli.
Yuli? Nice to meet you, Yuli. Nice to meet you. Okay.
What makes a man...
Can we have an agreement?
Okay.
If you ask me a question, I will listen to your question.
Would you answer it?
And then you'll give me an opportunity to answer
okay,
without giving me another question before I answer.
Would you do the same thing for me?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And Yuli, if one of us violate that rule, you have to smack us. Just be gentle.
I can't do that. Sorry.
Okay. All right. First question one.
There's multiple questions coming up right now, but...
Okay.
Okay.
It'll be easier for me as an old man to answer if I handle one at a time.
I know. Okay. God says to be kind and nice to other people, right? He says... Like he states multiple things during the Ten Commandments and all this stuff. You have to be nice, you have to be kind, don't steal, don't commit adultery and all these things. But isn't being nice, like the term of being like kind, falls in the term of respecting other people's beliefs?
Okay, my turn?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, the Ten Commandments say nothing about being nice or kind.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And being nice and kind is only good in the eyes of God if it's done for His glory. And let me show you where His Word says that.
All right.
It's in Romans chapter 14.
You memorized it.
Well, I've been reading this book for about 25 years, so I don't have a lot of it memorized, but...
But you have a pretty good understanding of what's happening.
Yeah. It says right here in verse 23 of Romans 14, but whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats. And they're talking about whether or not a person should eat food sacrificed to idols. And basically this chapter is saying, look, if it's okay in one person's conscience, you shouldn't judge them. And they shouldn't judge you if it's not okay with your conscience. Okay?
All right.
Okay. But listen to what it says here. It says, because the eating is not from faith. And this is the key. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. So what that means, Juan, is that you could be the kindest person in the world, but if that kindness does not proceed from faith in Jesus Christ, God actually sees that kindness as a sin.
So what if your kindness is like, suppose like a whole village is going to be murdered, you know,
mm-hmm.
like by a nuclear bomb, and you're the scientist,
yeah.
and your job and to do it is to build the bomb,
right?
And if you find out that
this has happened,
I know. And if you find out that the nuclear bomb is being created just for this, how you know what's right and wrong right there? Like the wrong thing is the Bible says do not murder. That means
right.
you're the creator of that murder if you create that bomb.
Okay, so ultimately, what's your question? I understand what you're saying,
yeah.
But I'm trying to find the question in that.
So how you know? Well, you know what's right and wrong in a certain
okay.
Basically duty. Mm-hmm.
God has given you a conscience.
So you have to decide from it.
Well, here's the thing. You know the difference between right and wrong.
Yeah.
Okay? Every aspect of right and wrong is not laid out for us in the Bible. For instance, what's your major?
Physics.
Okay. Whether it was right or wrong for you to become a physics major is not talked about in the Bible.
Okay.
Okay? Whether it's right or wrong for you to marry Yuli is not talked about in the Bible.
Okay.
Just seeing if she's listening. Okay.
She's like, I have to get
right.
No
so, so things like that are not given to us in the Bible, okay? But God has given us a conscience to know right from wrong. What the Bible teaches that apart from faith in Jesus Christ, anything we decide to do, even if it appears right in our heart and mind and maybe to other people, was ultimately done for a selfish reason. And it's sin before God.
So how can you do something so it won't become a sin then?
Well, the only way you can do that is through faith in Jesus Christ. See, here's the thing, Juan, and this is what gets a lot of people hung up. God does not negotiate with sinners.
Well, of course not.
He doesn't.
It's intolerant.
Right? A judge doesn't negotiate with a criminal. Right? Yes, he does.
Well, he lets him testify and stuff like that. But
he doesn't negotiate. This is what I mean, Yuli. If Juan was convicted of murder, and he's standing before the judge to be sentenced, it would serve no purpose. In fact, it would make things worse for Juan if Juan asserted, "Judge, I'm going to put you on trial. You're going to answer my questions. Yeah, I'm guilty, but I'm putting you on trial. Step down from your bench so I can interrogate you." Is that going to serve?
That makes no sense.
It doesn't. It doesn't. You're right, and that's the point. And it makes no sense whatsoever for mankind to think for a second that he's going to stand before the God of the universe and put God on trial.
What if there's no God?
No, there is a God, and you know that. You already know that. I've said that a number of times.
Yeah, you did.
But let me show you where I get that from.
He did say that. like, we believe that there's a God, but we know that there's a God, but we choose not to believe.
But the Bible is great, right?
It's true. Yeah.
What about the slavery that the Bible
The Bible nowhere promotes slavery. You see a lot of slavery in the Bible, but this is what makes.
What about the kids?
Well, hang on. Let me take one at a time. Okay. I want to answer all your. I want to answer all your questions if I can.
You already answered the slavery thing.
Well, but let me explain, though. Okay? I think an explanation is more than just making a proclamation of a sentence. This is why. This is why the Bible can be trusted, in part. One, it's true. Okay? Two, this book is not sanitized. This book doesn't make all of God's people look perfect. This book doesn't make... This book talks about the worst man can do to mankind. It's not been sanitized. It's not been cleaned up. It's not been made beautiful so everybody will like it. Okay? In the ancient Jewish times, the Old Testament, when you see talk about slavery, it was not the slavery that we saw in the 17th, 18th, and 19th century in Europe and in the United States. It's not that kind of slavery. The slavery we see talked about in the Bible is more often than not the result of debt. It's indentured servitude.
Okay.
All right. Well, no, hang on. Hang on. Let me finish. The law said that if someone there wasn't prison in the old Bible times. There wasn't a prison. You either paid your debt, you either paid your fine, or you died. There wasn't probation. There wasn't the county jail. There wasn't the state prison. The system. Well, but you have to take the Bible in its context. You can't take something out of the Bible and remove it from its context to apply it to another context. And oftentimes, when the question of slavery comes up, people force the context of that horrible, inappropriate, sinful, man-hating slavery that we saw early in our country, and then they assume that that's the kind of slavery that's being talked about in the Bible, and it's not. It's not. Slaves, I have a little bit longer on the slavery thing. Okay? Okay. But this is important because so many people...
I have another question.
Okay, I'll make it quick. Slaves in Bible times lived better than most free people. Most free people did not have a house. Most free people did not know where their next meal was going to come from. Most free people rummaged through the garbage to find their next meal. After 7 years of slavery, the law said the slave was to be set free. The slave then had the choice, the personal choice, to either leave or go. Most slaves chose to stay and mark that decision by having their earlobe pierced with an awl against the doorpost of their master's house. Because they had a better life serving their master than they did being out there free and starving and dying from disease. So it's not the kind of subjugation, sinful subjugation, we see in our history that you see in the Bible. What's your next one?
All right. Second question. So the Bible says that women are inferior to men.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't say that.
When going into a worshiping place, women are...
It doesn't say that.
They lie and they should wear something to cover their hair because they're...
Isn't that Islam?
It does not say that in the Bible. It does not. Can you show me where?
I can look it up right now.
Okay, now here's what you're looking up. There are verses, Yuli, about women's role in the church, but you will not find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus or anyone else says that women are inferior to men. Yuli, I can't.
Let me say something.
Okay.
It might not say it explicitly, but isn't that what can be taken out of it?
It can only be taken out of that. Yuli.
All right.
It can only. You're not going to let me answer, are you?
I'm not asking a question.
Oh, you're making a speech. Okay.
So you can interpret the Bible however you want.
No, I can't.
Saying that.
No, I can't. Yuli, you're setting up straw men and you're tearing them down. You're saying things that aren't true, and then you're cutting them under. Yuli, what you're saying is not true. I cannot put whatever interpretation I want on the Bible. Neither can you.
You are putting an interpretation in the Bible. Yes, you are. You have an interpretation of the Bible. Other religions have different interpretations of the Bible.
But they all can't be right.
They all can't.
But here's the thing, Yuli. Here's the thing. Yuli, until you come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, you cannot understand this book on a spiritual level. You can't. You can't. No, you can't. This isn't about intelligence. You're a very intelligent young woman. You're a very intelligent young man. I've got a high school education. I didn't go to college. Okay? But this is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible... See, I'm not appealing to my authority. I'm not appealing to my opinion. I'm appealing to what the Word of God says. It doesn't matter what we think. What matters is whether or not what we... Well, as soon as I answer. Because I have to be... But I have to be allowed... I have to be allowed to confront the untruths that you're saying.
I'm not saying untruths.
You are.
Go ahead.
You are.
I'm not saying untruths.
Well, you are, because you don't understand the Bible. You can't understand it on a spiritual level.
But you understand it.
Yes, because I've been born again. I've been saved. God has opened my eyes. His Spirit testifies with my spirit that these things are true. But Yuli, the Word of God says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It also says, the natural person, you, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, they are foolishness to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The book of Ephesians says that apart from faith in Jesus Christ, you are dead spiritually. You're dead in your sin.
I'm dead.
Spiritually.
Right.
Apart from faith in Christ, you're dead spiritually.
I'm lesser of a person than you.
I didn't say that.
Because of my belief.
I didn't say that. That's another straw man because you don't like what I'm saying.
And what are you saying?
I've never
wrong? I'm wrong.
Yes, you're wrong. You're wrong.
Okay.
You're wrong. Not based on my opinion, but based on the truth of God's Word, a book you cannot understand on a spiritual level. Because you're dead in your sin.
Well, there's different.
You don't know Christ.
I'm dead. I'm a sinner.
Yes, and we're all sinners. But I'm not spiritually dead. It's not because I'm good. It's not because I'm better than you. It's because I've turned from my sin and put my trust in Christ. And because you're proud, you won't do that. And God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And Yuli, until you're ready to come to Christ on His terms, you're always going to hate what this book says.
I don't hate it. I think it's a great story.
You don't. No, you don't.
So wonderfully.
You don't believe it.
So many people follow
you don't believe it.
It's great. Oh, you are.
You don't believe it, Yuli.
It's like any other legend.
You don't.
Myths of many religions.
That's not true.
Yeah.
It's not true.
So,
that is how you suppress the truth in your unrighteousness,
okay,
to make yourself comfortable in your unbelief.
One more question I have to go.
What's that?
That's
all right. Oh, sure.
So one more question and I have to go study.
Okay, one more question and then you got to go study.
So if you were born, say, Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, I get this one a lot.
Uh-huh. And you had...
Never heard of Jesus.
Never heard of Jesus.
Right.
Never heard of God. You have your own set of beliefs.
Right.
Let's say some invaders come, take over your people,
uh-huh,
and they believe in God.
Yeah.
Right? It's the truth. So you think that's fine?
No, I don't.
See, and
again,
they can keep their
Yuri,
beliefs and they don't have to believe in God.
Yuri,
they don't have to be doing the Bible.
Yuri, you're arguing illogically because you're making assertions of what I believe, and even though they're wrong, and then you tear them down to support your position. That is arguing illogically. It's a logical fallacy.
You are making many logical fallacies.
Can you tell me one?
Yes.
Please.
All right. You go off something written and interpret it.
Why is that fallacious?
Because.
Why is it fallacious to believe something written?
I'm not saying that it's not a correlation. I'm saying that you believe it one way, and I gave you another set of interpretations from it, and you said that that one's wrong. Only right. Your interpretation is wrong.
I never said that.
No other interpretation.
I never said that.
You've said it many times.
I have never said. No, I've said that you're wrong. Yes, I've said that you're wrong.
Because.
But I'm not right because of my interpretation. I'm not right because of my interpretation. Yuli, we have to start with this premise because you're on a foundation of sand right now. You cannot, Yuli.
Will you answer my question about
the people who never heard of Jesus?
Yes. Yeah. Do you think that
whenever you're ready, I'll answer. Okay. All right. Anybody who is forced into believing a set of beliefs does not know God. And anyone who forced them into a set of beliefs does not know God. Simple as that.
All right.
Okay? Now, as to your question.
No,
as to your question. The question about all those who didn't know about Jesus, didn't know about God, that's only partially true. Okay? While it's true that they may not have ever heard of the name of Jesus, it is not true that they do not know who God is. Every human being knows that God exists.
Because of right or wrong.
Hang on.
Then why does religion have to be imposed on people?
Religion isn't imposed on people. Well,
right now?
Yuli, you came up to me and you engaged me in conversation. I don't have you in a headlock. I'm not holding you at gunpoint. I'm not threatening you with any violence if you don't believe like me. I'm not imposing anything on you.
Having people at gunpoint, having them at gunpoint.
Yeah. Is wrong. And they don't represent Christ.
You can't compare that as to attacking people with words of the same thing. I mean,
how am I attacking you? By telling you you're wrong?
I'm telling you you're wrong.
I know, yeah, so.
We're fine.
No, we're not fine. You're not attacking me, and I'm not attacking you. We're disagreeing.
No, I'm saying about people that impose religion on other people.
Yeah, no one should do that.
Of course. Coming up, someone say, you're wrong, God is in all of you, so believe in God. If you're wrong, here's the Bible, read it.
And how is that imposing?
How is that imposing?
To impose is to force something on someone to the point where they must accept it. That's what it means to impose.
That's kind of what she just said.
Well, but I'm not forcing you to accept anything.
On someone to the point that they don't have to accept it. They can. Many people do because they're weak. But
that's not true. That's a fallacious argument.
You can't say that people are not weak.
Everybody's weak, but they don't accept Jesus Christ because they're weak.
That can be argued too, but that's a different.
It's a prideful person, the person who thinks they're strong, that denies Christ, but they're actually weak.
Another question.
Sure. I didn't answer the one about the people in Papua New Guinea. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. God says that every human being knows that he exists.
Every human being?
Every human being knows that he exists, yes. Oh, what's your name, sir?
Justin Parker.
Justin, nice to meet you, Justin.
I've seen your video in the window. Online.
Oh. Well, thanks for the encouragement, Justin. Thank you. Right, God bless you.
Right.
Everyone knows that God exists.
In their own type of way, right?
No,
they know that God exists, but they create idols, they create false religions to suppress the truth they know about God.
So then they can keep believing their religions.
And go to hell.
Oh.
Yeah. Because unless a person turns from their sin and puts their trust in Christ, they will go to hell. Not because I say so, not because I want them to, but that's what the Word of God says.
Another question. So, there were many people here in the Americas.
Yeah.
From top to bottom.
Right.
North to south.
Yep.
Having their own religions, their own spirituality.
Right.
many not having God.
Right, and Catholicism was forced upon them.
And then Christianity came.
Catholicism came
from the...
Right, from Spain and
from the old world,
from Mexico, from South America. Yeah, it was wrong.
It was wrong.
But that doesn't change you.
It was wrong.
But that doesn't change who God is. And it doesn't change. It doesn't change what God is. Who God is.
If I have my own set of beliefs.
Go believe what you want to believe. Go believe what you want to believe.
You can be.
I'm not forcing you. I'm not forcing you to believe anything. I'm not threatening you with a spear or a musket. I'm not bringing disease to you. I'm simply having a conversation with you. Right. Because I'm not imposing anything on you. It's your conscience. It's your conscience. It's your conscience what's imposing things on you. Because you know what I'm telling you is true. But you hate it. Because you hate God.
I know that you think what you know is true. But you do not know all truth.
I don't.
No one.
But I know the one who is true. And you don't. You don't know the one who is true. Until you turn from your sin and put your trust in Christ, you do not know the one who is true. You don't. And you're free to remain. You're free to remain dead in your sin. And you're free to remain playing this game that there is no God, and that because I don't like things that God does, then He doesn't exist. I mean, that's fallacious. Could we all agree that what Hitler did was wrong?
No.
You can't agree that what Hitler did was wrong?
No.
Why?
Like,
where are you from?
I'm not saying I'm a Nazi. I'm not saying I'm a Nazi, but...
Why wasn't it wrong?
Well, like, okay, he murdered... Well, actually...
Please tell me why that wasn't wrong, Juan, before I have to step away wondering if you've got a knife in your pocket.
No, you can check me. I have
Juan, it was wrong, and you know it was wrong.
He never touched anybody.
Juan!
Hitler did not touch
anybody. That is utterly illogical.
Okay.
He was not responsible for the death of millions upon millions of people.
Okay,
was it not wrong?
That's different. That is different. Hitler was responsible for everything he has committed, but he never once put his hand on a human.
You don't know the law.
No.
Juan, you don't know basic law. Okay. Explain to me the elements of a conspiracy. Explain to me the elements of a conspiracy.
I see the comparison.
It's like...
Miano?
The elements of it is something being...
No, M-I-A-N-O.
Is something being said or done that's...
Here's a conspiracy. No. I was a deputy sheriff for 20 years. Here's what a conspiracy is. It is when a group of people work together and plot together to commit a criminal act.
Okay.
So if you, me, and Steven band together to commit a crime, and we decide that you're going to be the one that pulls the trigger, you actually commit the murder. All of us are guilty of murder.
Okay.
Because we conspired together to commit the murder.
Okay.
Hitler was guilty of murdering 6 million Jews.
That is okay.
And an unknown number of millions of people who were homosexual or black or mentally handicapped or physically handicapped, gypsies. He didn't only murder Jews. He murdered everyone that didn't fit into his paradigm.
So
it was wrong, was it not?
Okay, I'll agree with you there.
Okay,
but was it also wrong that he did all that because he said an angel came to him?
Yeah. The Bible says even Satan appears as an angel of light.
Oh yeah, because
it wasn't God.
He's an angel. He's an angel.
Right. Right.
Like
he was an angel. He's a demon now.
No, he's not a demon.
Well, Juan,
I don't think he's a demon.
Juan.
Because
how much time have you spent in this book?
I've actually heard it plenty of times.
How much time have you spent in this book?
Well, I'm only 18 years old.
Okay.
I'm only 18 years old.
All right. I've read this book almost every day of my life for 25 years, and I can assure you that Satan was once an angel by the name of Lucifer. The highest ranking angel in heaven was Lucifer. He rebelled against God along with a third of the host of heaven. God cast him out of heaven and he became Satan.
I thought it was St. Michael.
No. No.
I thought St. Michael himself cast him down.
No. That was God. Anyways, that was God.
Oh, okay.
See, now, I'm sorry, Elsie? Yuli. All right. So, Yuli, several times you've asserted that I'm basically cramming these things down your throat. I'm basically, in a sense, I'm forcing you to believe these things.
No, of course okay. not. You're not forcing me, but...
But here's the thing.
You're forcing me, but you're forcing me.
But Yuli, Yuli.
I will give in to it.
No, Yuli. Here's the thing. Here's what makes that argument completely absurd. You won't leave. I'm not telling you to go. I don't want you to go.
Because I want you
but
to
you
believe
won't
what
leave. Why? Why would you force your views on me?
Why would you
force your views? Why would you? See, it's you're making a false argument.
It goes
it is.
Round and round. Okay.
Here's the thing.
I can stand up there and tell everyone.
Go ahead.
God is not real.
Yeah, you'd be lying, but
no.
Yeah, you'd be lying.
I would not be lying.
Yeah. How do you think life began, Yuli?
I think you're lying.
How do you think life
theory.
Really?
Yes.
All right, Juan. You're a physics major, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I love it.
So Juan, here's
I love the study of movement.
Okay, here's the Big Bang Theory in a nutshell.
Okay.
Something exploded out of nothing and became everything.
That's pretty much it.
Sound logical to you? That something exploded out of nothing.
It's not something nothing. No.
That's what the Big Bang Theory is.
Because it's forces.
Where did those forces come from?
It came from
where did those forces come from?
Like, this is where I believe in it because I'm Science Cathedral.
Teacher.
Where do the forces come from?
This is where I know that God is real. The force came from God. Because there is something made out of nothing. It's called antimatter. And it's been proven.
Now God spoke the universe into existence. God spoke the universe into existence. In the beginning, God. That's how everything began. It didn't begin with a Big Bang. It didn't begin with forces. It didn't begin with atoms. It didn't begin from some primordial ooze. It didn't begin with an atom. Where did the atom come from? Nice to meet you, Yuli.
I think that God was a human creation. Humans created God in their minds.
Mm-hmm. And you're wrong.
I'm an atheist. I'll say that way.
No, you're not an atheist.
I accept.
You are a young lady. No, you don't.
I accept his religion.
You don't.
We all believe different things, and we can all coexist.
Nope, it's not true. Bye, Yuli.
Bye.
Nice talking to you.
See you around. I'll be here for like a couple.
My sister here yet?
A good hour.
Oh, it's not 12:30 yet. Wow, it seems like we've been going a long time. Any other questions? You said you had a bunch of them.
Yeah. Okay, so like, here's the thing. All right. So like, into the eyes of God, in order for something to be right,
yeah,
it has to fall under His conditions.
Yes, absolutely.
So.
Yeah.
So and one of His conditions is not to murder people, right?
Right.
So go back to the nuclear bomb. So if I'm creating a nuclear bomb and it's falling of murdering somebody, and like, so in order to be not a sin against God, I must not create the bomb.
Not necessarily.
Or create the bomb but not
necessarily.
So how would that be right?
Well, in the Hebrew text, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew.
Yes.
The Ten Commandments are in the Old Testament.
Yes.
The Hebrew word used in the commandment, do not kill, or more specifically, do not murder, is the Hebrew word ratzak.
Okay.
It's used 47 times in the verb form in the Old Testament, and each time it represents the taking of a human life, the intentional taking of a human life with malice aforethought. Meaning this.
Okay.
I kill you for no other reason than I want to kill you. That's murder.
Okay.
I harbor bitterness, resentment, hatred in my heart, and so I take out a knife and I drive it through your heart and I kill you. That's premeditated murder. The premeditating of a human life with malice aforethought.
Okay.
But yet in the Bible, there are several other different Hebrew words that represent different forms of killing.
Oh, okay.
Okay? There is a word for the killing of animals. There is the word for the killing in war. There is a word for a killing in self-defense. There's a word for judicial punishment, the death penalty.
Yeah.
Those words are not used in that commandment. The one type of killing, the one type of murder that God prohibits in that commandment, right, is premeditated murder with malice, with hatred in my heart toward you.
Oh.
If you ran up to Yuli and you were going to stab her with a knife, and I pulled out a gun and I shot you, I didn't murder you.
You defended.
I defended Yuli. God wouldn't see me as violating that commandment against murder. Because I was trying to save her, and in order to do that, I had to take your life. So in the situation that you're talking about, there were many scientists who worked on establishing or creating the atomic bomb. It was going to kill hundreds of thousands of people in order to prevent the systematic destruction of millions of people.
So it's okay to kill some in order to save more?
Well, and again, are we doing what Hitler did to the Jews was murder?
Yes, of course.
The Americans going over and killing German soldiers who were helping Hitler murder Jews was not murder. It was an act of war to try to protect life. Okay. Now here's where the conscience comes in. If you were one of those scientists and you recognized that this was going to be used for war, this wasn't going to be used to murder people with malice in their heart, but it was going to be used to try to end a war. But in your heart, you said, I don't want to be part of killing anybody, regardless of the reason. Then for you to continue working on that bomb would be a sin. Because the Bible says, to him who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Now, in the same set of circumstances, you know that, hey, nice to meet you.
I still want to see if you have a message for me or something like that. I just wanted to listen a little bit.
Here's my message from you, and it's only from me. It's not from God, because I'm not God's mouthpiece. You told me while you're up there on the hill that you carry a Bible in your pocket.
Yeah, I read it.
I am glad you do. My word for you is to get that Bible out of your pocket and not read it for only your own edification, but get out here and do what a 50-year-old man is doing who's not a student on the campus. Now, maybe you don't want to stand on a hill and preach. That's fine. But start engaging all of these students, most of whom are lost and bound for hell apart from Christ. Start caring more about these students than you care about what these students think of you. Go reach them with the gospel, for the glory of Christ. That's my word for you. Fair?
Okay.
All right. God bless you. Say hi next time. I'm always here on Wednesday, so,
oh, cool. Oh, yeah,
so say hi.
Yeah, I've been talking with him. Yeah, he's always here.
Great. Yeah, God bless you. You have a great day.
All right, man. So you hear? Okay. So that's my only basically concern of doing something right, but like knowing what is right, basically. You know, when it comes to that.
Topic. Okay. Here's where Christ comes in. Okay. Right now, Juan, apart from faith in Jesus Christ, your conscience is completely corrupted by sin.
Oh, yeah.
If left to your own devices, you're not going to do what pleases God. You're going to do what pleases you. Okay? So, even those things that you do, even the right decisions that you make, while they may have positive consequences here in this life, if they are not done as a result of faith in Jesus Christ, they are still sin. Your decision to do the right thing as the bomb maker, in God's eyes, is still sin if it was not done to glorify God. So, all of this conversation has been wonderful, but Juan, in the end, if you die today, and if God only sees your sin, this hour of conversation meant nothing. I answered your questions intellectually, but you're no closer to God. And that was the message that I was communicating. Unless people turn from their sin, turn from their love of self, turn from their love of sin, and turn toward God by faith in Jesus Christ alone, they're going to perish in their sin. One, you need to come to terms with the fact that there are nicer people than you and me in hell today.
Well, I know there are nicer
people than me. Because no one goes to heaven by being nice. No one goes to heaven by being a good person. Because in God's eyes, none of us are.
That is true.
Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. You got class?
No.
What time?
So, Juan, what's going to happen to you when you die?
I
think you know.
I'm going to hell?
Not because I say so. I can't send anybody to hell. And the last thing I want is for you to go to hell. That's not why I'm taking all this time to talk to you, because, man, I hope he goes to hell. No, I'm hoping you come to your senses. I'm hoping that God opens your eyes and softens your heart so that you can believe him and take him at his word.
So is it wrong to study physics?
No, I love science, because the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. The problem with physics, the problem with science, isn't the science itself, which is beautiful. It's how man sinfully applies it to help them not believe in God.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
I get it.
Right? Because everything you learn in physics testifies to the glory of God. Everything you learn in astronomy testifies to the glory of God. Everything you learn in geology and archaeology and any other kind of ology testifies to the glory of God. I love science. I eat it up. I love looking at the stars. I love looking under a into a microscope, because it reminds me of how great God is.
Because he technically he created science.
Not technically, he did. Yeah, he did.
He created science.
This is what he did. He gave us the ability to be observers.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah, I know.
He put us on a planet that's been perfectly created with the perfect atmosphere to sustain human life. He gave us a conscience. He gave us an atmosphere that allows us to see beyond our atmosphere. He put our solar system and our planet in a specific part of the Milky Way, in between rings, where we have the best possible platform to observe. Why? So that we could testify to the glory of God when we observe those things. But yet man, in his sinfulness, looks at the heavens that God made and said, there is no God.
I get it.
See?
Well, I know I want to go to heaven, you know, but that was just the thing that was bothering the most. Whether if I'm doing it right or wrong, that's the only thing.
But again, you making the right decisions won't get you into heaven. Salvation is by grace. If I were to take off my watch and give it to you and said, Juan, this is a gift, but that's going to be $300.
Oh.
Is it still going to be a gift?
No, because I'm
no. Exactly. And the same is true with salvation. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Salvation is a gift. It's not something you can work for. It's not something you can earn by making the right decision and by being the good thing, doing good things. Salvation comes when you humble yourself and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, putting all of your faith and your trust in Him and not Juan's ability to do the right thing. Because there are a lot of religious people in the world today doing the right thing, but they're doing it for the wrong reason. They're doing it because they think that will earn them heaven, instead of doing it because they're so thankful for the salvation that God has given them as a gift. So turn from your sin and put your trust in Christ.
I do. I trust Him. Like just how, like, when I don't know, I forgot who was his name, when God told him to kill his own son, and he, since he loved
Abraham.
Yeah, Abraham. When he was about to kill his son, God knew that he believed in him, so he'd be unstopped, right?
And you know what that story was painting a picture of? The cross. Because God put His own son on the cross.
But his son was murdered.
Listen, Abraham by faith believed that God would provide the lamb. He told his servants that before they walked up the mountain. They said, you know, his son asked, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide. Abraham put his son on the pyre, put his son on the wood, tied him down, and was going to execute him as a sacrifice to God. God said, stop. I know now that you believe in me. And there was a ram caught in the thicket. God provided the lamb. God provided the sacrifice. On the cross, God provided the sacrifice for sin through the sinless Lamb of God, His Son, Jesus Christ. Very good talking to you, Juan.
Thanks.
Good spending time with you.
I guess I gotta go more to understanding then.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Keep thinking about it. I'm here about the same time every Wednesday.
All right, cool.
If you see me and if you got questions, fire away, buddy. I'd love to talk to you.
It's pretty much the same thing. I'm just trying to understand that.
Okay. You have a good day.
You too, man.